Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And you're going to see this on some digital networks. We're going to put this on all our outlets. But we ask you to share this. And listen, we have a slumbering nation to wake up in a very short amount of time. So please share. We're coming to you from the Noble Gold Studios, and we are brought to you by Noble Gold. And let me give the federal warning right in the beginning. Any investment carries an inherent risk, and past performance can't be construed with future expectation. Okay, I've been a customer of Noble Gold for 7 years. I've been advertising for eight. Okay, the warning is nice, but I'm telling you, they're the best company I've ever dealt with. They're tremendous, and they can save your retirement. The Dodd-Frank Law 2010 says the banks can take your money. You're an unsecured creditor. Do you really want to take this risk? Can you start over? Of course you can't. Well, Noble Gold can fix it so they can't touch you. And I can send you a free information packet, DaveHodgesGold.com. It'll include Noble Gold's number on it. And by the way, they're trained not to hard sell. You literally, the first time, will have to close your own deal. DaveHodgesGold.com. Or if you feel the urgency of the moment, call 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347. Well, we have an interesting beginning to our show today. And in our first segment, we have Eddie Cornell and we have Noel Roberts. And this is my first meeting with Eddie, and he's former military. And let me tell you about Noel first, then I'm going to have Noel introduce Eddie. Noel works in the Republican Party here in Arizona, and she won't say this, but I will. This is Dave saying it, not Noel, so she can't get in trouble. We've lost our way in the Republican Party in Arizona. We have a lot of infiltrators with rhinos and so forth, and I've done lots of shows on it. She's one of the good people trying to stay on the straight and narrow and try to keep as much of the valuable part of the party together that she can. She is one of the administrators for Take Our Borders Back, and this is what we're going to be covering in the show today. Yes, that's the one I spoke at in June. I've spoken about many times about what I learned when I was there. It's a terrific organization. Kim Yater leads it. Noel is running. She runs the events that go on in Arizona. She also assists in other places like Niagara Falls. Wow, how cool is that? And Noel, would you please introduce Eddie a little bit about his background here to our audience?
Yeah, so Eddie Cornell and I met just actually with this endeavor a few months ago. You know, we started Take Our Border Back in February. There was of us, and we did that three-state event, which was, you know, just where we live, right on the southern border, California, Arizona, and Texas. And those of us who lived here, we got together and we had the Southern Border Convoy across the nation. And then we culminated on February 3rd with this three-state rally on that day. And a bunch of people from California came over to Arizona. And Kim Yater, you mentioned the California crew. And then we had people from really Texas, Virginia, came all the way across to Yuma, Arizona. You know, Yuma here is a small town. And Eddie was not with us at that point. But then we realized after we did that event that it's not just the southern border that's a problem. We know that. We didn't realize how bad it was, I don't think. And then we started talking with some people on the southern side in Mexico and the northern side in Canada. And Eddie, he was integral with the trucker convoy up there, and that was, you know, worldwide an event that happened with them. And Eddie has some military background. I'll let him go through that. I don't want to misspeak on any of his roles because they're so awesome. I don't want to forget anything. And so we brought Eddie in. He also, I'm going to ask him to touch on his lawsuit against Trudeau for the Emergencies Act that happened during COVID. I mean, there's a lot here that we could talk about, but those are some of the highlights. So, Eddie, thanks for joining us, for being here today from Canada. I'm going to let you take it from there and fill us everybody in on your side of it.
Well, thank you, Noelle, and thank you, David. It's a pleasure to be here today. I'm very excited to be on your show today and very excited to be part of the Take Our Border Back crew. It's, you know, it's something that I've been talking about for a long time. And Noel mentioned my background. Yes, I'm ex-military. I was a gunner in the Canadian Forces for 22 years. I was working behind the scenes at the trucker convoy in 2022. And While we were there, I, with a couple of other people, put forward a lawsuit, taking our government to task for imposing the Emergency Act and freezing of bank accounts. Mm-hmm. Mine was one of the bank accounts that were frozen. It took 2 years, but Justice Mosley here in Canada from our federal court, he decided that the government acted illegally. It's called ultra vires here in Canada, which means they overstepped their authority and acted illegally. And we're still in the courts. They've appealed. We should have that appeal heard this fall sometime. And I'm also involved in a lawsuit as well with a whole laundry list of all of the key government personnel suing them personally for freezing our bank accounts. And that's going to take some time and it's going to take a lot of effort. There's 20 of us that are involved in it. There are other lawsuits against them as well. But the unique part about this lawsuit that we have is that we're suing them individually. We're suing the banks, we're suing the police, and we're suing the Anti-Hate Network, which is like your Southern Poverty Law Center in the United States, just a vile organization. The best part about this, should our government fall or not get reelected, this lawsuit follows them into their civilian life. It doesn't die or stay with the next government. It follows them. So that's kind of a unique tactic that we decided to use. So they're not going to be able to run and hide just because they're not in office anymore. And that's pretty much it for me. And, you know, I think with the Take Our Border Back initiatives that we've been involved in over the past few months and up and coming on September 28th in Niagara Falls, on both sides of the border, Niagara Falls, we're bringing attention to this issue along with other issues. People need to really pay attention to what's going on because we're going to lose our countries and especially the United States. That's why I'm so happy to partner with all of my American friends, because if the United States fall, we all fall. Canada is way down the path further to Marxist communism than the United States. It is very, very bad here in this country. A lot of people are still asleep, but that's just the way things work. But there's a lot of people awake, but our government is coming after us hard. And they're coming after us just like they do in the States with lawfare, putting us through that, and then at the end dropping the charges, but bankrupting you between here and there. So these events, I think, are really, really important that people pay attention to, come out if they can, or watch them online and share them with your friends. So yeah, thanks for here today.
It's a great description, and thank you for being on with us, Eddie. And you know, you look like a warrior, I tell you, and I like the Canadian flag that I'm seeing in the background here. But I wanted to ask you a couple questions about a couple things you said here. Assets frozen, let me ask you about that. How long did it take you to get access to your assets, and how did you survive without access to your bank account?
That was a really I guess a traumatic experience. Luckily for me, mine was frozen for only a week. But here's what happened. The trucker convoy was brutally ended, as the world saw. They beat everyone into submission. And they froze our bank accounts. Remember, it's February. It was minus 25, minus 30 Celsius, which is very cold. I had no money, just like 256 of us that had our bank accounts frozen. No money, no gas. I lived 1,300 miles away from our capital, and I had no means to get home. I couldn't provide shelter for myself. I couldn't buy food. I couldn't buy gas. If it wasn't for a kindness of people that were there to give me a few bucks to make it home, I wouldn't have gotten home. They treated us like garbage in Ottawa. And it was a very traumatic experience. We didn't know that our bank accounts would ever be unfrozen. There was no means of appeal, nothing that we could do. We call our bank and they wouldn't even talk to us. And it was just the cold shoulder in every possible direction. And I don't want to see any free country ever have that ability to do that to citizens that have broken no laws or convicted of no crimes, to be able to do that and punish us. You know, they look at us because we're not wealthy people. We're the low hanging fruit. So we were the people that were the most easily punished. And those who stick their heads up in this country get severely punished. And, you know, the world doesn't get to see everything that happens here in Canada, but it's a regime that is in control of our country. And they don't wear the brown shirts and they're not doing the big goose steps, but they wear their fancy suits and they control the people in ways that have been proven to, you know, work from many, many different tyrannical governments over, you know, the past 100 years. They're using the same playbooks.
Yeah. Learning from your experience, because I think you guys are farther down that road, as you said, than we are here in America, although we're catching up with you. Couple questions I have is, one, is there a breaking point for the Canadian military where they won't support the abuse? And number two, what about citizen rebellion, civilian unrest, civil disobedience? Can you address those issues?
I can. Our military has been decimated. Any of the critical thinkers and combat experienced soldiers were basically punted from the military.
Okay.
They are gone. Most of the people that are there are DEI hires. You know, diversity, equity, and inclusion. You probably saw in the world news, they were putting tampons first in the military bases and all the men's washrooms. That's how critical it was.
Really? I didn't know Tim Walz was a Canadian.
Yeah.
We hear about that down here, Eddie. They don't tell
us. No.
Yeah, that's actually a true story. An organization I was a co-founder of, Veterans for Freedom, we broke that story and it, you know, reverberated around the world. So in the military now, in order to move forward in your career, you get points based on your diversity score. So they changed the dress code where you can have man buns and wear a dress and paint your fingernails, earrings. These are combat troops. Our military is not at a fighting strength. Our military will not save us. It is not. Give you an idea. Here's what happened is during the trucker convoy, the government was kind of talking behind the scenes. We see the emails, how they were wanting to bring the military. And remember, they hadn't punted all of the critical thinkers and combat experience guys at that time. And there's a reason they wouldn't bring the military in. And see, in Canada, in order to use the military against the citizens, they have to declare an emergency, which they did. But they didn't bring the military. The military said no, because they were afraid at that time that the military would break ranks and side with the people protesting.
Oh, that's okay.
But the military didn't come. So they took that back to their, you know, decision makers and decided that we need to do something about people that think like this. So they scoured everybody's social media accounts, asked questions, and punted people that were considered conservative. They're gone.
Obama did that in our military during his first and second term, although he wasn't entirely successful. I can't say sources, but I can tell you there are base commanders and high-ranking officers, not in the Pentagon, who aren't going to go along with the abuse of the American people. I'm confident of that from what I've heard. And I think because our military is so multifaceted, it's harder to control than, say, the Canadian military that's substantially smaller.
Yes.
Yeah, and I'll be very specific. The submarine fleet, the Space Force. I don't want to say anything in the continental United States, but there are certain groups, organizations, and bases that aren't going to go along with, okay, go round the people up. They're not going to do it. I'm confident.
Yeah, what they're doing now is allowing these migrants to join our military, and they're dropping a lot of the critical requirements that are, you know, necessary to be a soldier. And English or French, which are our languages here in Canada, they don't have to speak as long as they can use Google Translate.
Wow.
So that's
how's that going to help you on the battlefield? I mean, this is insanity.
Well, it depends what battlefield you might be speaking of.
Well, I'm at the one where you got the guns and you're shooting and you're fighting for survival and you need the guy next to you to be able to understand you.
Right. Or understand your leader.
Well, yeah. Think about it.
Exactly.
I'm just, this is my opinion, but do you think that people that they bring in the military that have no relationship with our country, that are brand new to this country, would they have any sympathy if the government told them to go against the citizens of their own country?
Oh my gosh. Eddie, I got to tell you, FM 339.4, Army Field Manual, and it's loosely what we refer to as FEMA camps. Incarceration camps with two purposes, political prisoners and prisoners of war, and they distinguish between the two. And listen, what you just said is on the money. One of the provisions in this document says that we will train foreigners to take over the camps. Well, it doesn't take much imagination to figure why they're going to put foreigners there based on what they're going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
We're importing foreigners into our country at a higher rate per capita than the United States. Every day in this country, we're bringing in over 4,000 migrants, flying them in, and they're being paid to be here. Canadians make on average $65,000 a year as a family. These migrants are being paid $81,000 a year. They're being put up in the best hotels, given the best food, and given everything that they need. Our infrastructure is crumbling, and our government doesn't see that this is a problem.
Wow, Dave, you need to do a whole show on Canada.
Yeah, we're going to, Eddie, we're going to have you back and do a full show on this.
Yeah, that's like all
breaking. I'd be happy to do that. This is fascinating stuff, but it relates to what we're going to be talking about here, take our border back. And ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. I work in this every day, and I feel I'm knowledgeable about border issues and what's going on with our military and how they're now training illegals and bringing them in, like at Camp Pendleton. Eyewitnesses validate this, non-coms complaining about it. I'm knowledgeable, but I got to tell you, I sat there when I was not speaking at the conference in June for Take Our Borders Back. I got an education. I was hearing things I would not have heard anywhere else. And I'm telling you right now, it'll be the experience politically for you that some of you have never had. So let's go to you, Noel. Let's talk about what's going to take place up in New York.
Yeah, so everybody can find all information at takeourborderback.com. And we have so much information on the website, not just about the events, but also a lot of education that you mentioned. Some of the things that we talk about at, you know, we were San Ysidro in June, we were in Texas in July, now we're going to be in Niagara Falls in September, and then we'll be in Yuma in October. But what we're really concentrating on this time is, yes, the border, but also sovereignty of our nations combined. So now we have a North America alliance with Mexico and Canada, because their countries are equally as important as our country. We, you know, are the buffer between them. And the Eddie here and people we've spoken with in Mexico, they have the same issues that we feel here in America. And the decimation of their countries, of their provinces, their towns, the illegals getting free everything. We have that here in Arizona. You know, they put them up in the hotels across America. And so sovereignty is a big problem. Also, fifth generation warfare. You know, we'll have speakers. And Dave, I think you spoke on that.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. And so that, of course, has national impact across all our nations. And then the global agendas with the NGOs. We know that the one world government is a huge problem. So we bring in a specialist to talk about that at each event. And then also we'll be talking a little later too, 7 steps to taking our elections back. So the California team, they work a lot with elections as we do here in Arizona. So the elections is always an ongoing subject and issue really for all of us. I know Canada, they don't have as much say. Same with Mexico. Things happen there beyond their control. We're very close to that here in America, but that is one of the key tenets that we discussed at our events. Also, public safety and security. We have a team member that comes in. Sometimes Border Patrol will speak on this, and as well as Border 911, we've been working with Victor Avila, and I think he might be in New York. I'm not sure if he's making that or Yuma, but we hope to have one of the representatives. And they're right on the ground. You know, those guys are Border Security Alliance. In fact, Ardo Cuarto, I ran into him a couple weeks ago here, and he's planning on joining us in Yuma. He's with Border Security Alliance. He's been on the ground, you know, border security for 25 plus years, I think it is. So they're really dealing with this stuff every single day. So they're there to speak to these things, as well as, of course, human trafficking and what that looks like around the world, which is you know, multi-billion dollar in the triple levels. I don't know, 360 billion, 500 billion. I'm not sure the number, but it's a lot. And it's pervasive. And it's, I think, the number one way our cartels around the world really are making money now, from women, children, boys, and trafficking them, labor trafficking, sex trafficking. So those are the tenets that we discuss at our events. And in Niagara, it will be the weekend of the 27th of September near Buffalo. So I'm not familiar. I would just say everybody go to takeourborderback.com, because that's where you're going to find the information. And I'm going there for the first time. He's up there north already. So we're going to have some prayer, as we always do, to bring our countries together and to get us ourselves in the right mindset to work together, like, harmoniously. And then we have the speakers for the day. And I know, Eddie, I'm going to let you talk to you about what's going on. I know we're kind of diverting a little bit. Here's what we're doing, Dave. There's another event happening in DC that same weekend. We're going to piggyback on to you, just because so much is happening right before the election. It's hard to spread us around, but we really want to give proper, like, attention to things happening all over, because everything really is important right now, and we're just trying to bring light to all of it. And so, Eddie, tell us, because I don't even know if I know what we're exactly going to look like with Canada now because of the changes. So speak to that a little bit for us.
Sure. What we're going to do is at 9 a.m., that's local time in Niagara Falls, both sides, you know, from the States and from Canada, are going to meet on the Rainbow Bridge. And we're going to meet our brothers and sisters from each country and, you know, have handshakes and hugs and prayer on the bridge. Kim likes to say we're going to take the rainbow back.
That's right. We are.
That's always good. And then what's going to happen is we're going to break. Some from the American side will come over and speak on the Canadian side. Some of our people will actually as well go over to the American side, and we'll go to our venues for each of our events. And that'll run till probably around 4 or 5 o'clock that day. Now, also at noon that day, there'll be a lot of people exiting from the event in the States and convoying to Washington. As you know, there's going to be a major event in Washington on that same weekend, which will culminate with the big event on Sunday. And on the website, if you look, you can see who a lot of the very prominent speakers are going to be. I don't want to break any news, but I think there's going to be another speaker there, from what I'm told, that isn't on the poster. And it's not for me to give that name, but I think people will be very, very happy at who that speaker will be. And I think it's going to be an exciting weekend. And I think for both countries, we're going to shine light onto what's happening in our countries. This is monumental, and it's historic. And we're never going to turn around and go backwards. We're not taking a knee, and we're always going to push forward. And these people are never going to control us the way that they're trying. Right. And that's why we do this.
That's right.
So I like the interchange I'm hearing. You know, Noel, when we went down to the border in our conference at San Ysidro, we really didn't get to interact with our Mexican counterparts. And I would love to have been able to do that. But there was fear of the cartel. And then I don't know that the Mexican authorities would have cooperated. Are you going to have any trouble with people crossing over the border back and forth for an event that will obviously piss off Trudeau?
I don't see any big issues now. You know, people have their passports with them, and they'll have to go back through the border points. But yeah, we've done it in the past in the Niagara region, meeting on the bridge, especially during the scandemic. And, you know, we did that, and it was very successful.
Isn't it funny, Dave, hearing people, so from Eddie from Canada, when he mentions the pandemic like that, like, people don't realize how similar everyone is. You know, they always try to differentiate us by every category they can think of, really, on a list and on a piece of paper. And honestly, what we found, and that's why we partnered with Mexico and Canada this time, because our countries are really like, we are the island to ourselves. And we do have the borders, of course, which we do want to maintain for everybody's security and safety within those regions. But the people themselves are very similar in what our concerns are and what we believe, the hoaxes that we've been through and the tyranny, certainly in Canada, but too, people who realize in America, I mean, how the tyranny has taken hold. And you brought this up earlier, so I do want to, so I go into podcaster mode on the other side. So I'm about to facilitate the conversation for Dave. I can't help it. It's just what I do. So sorry, Dave, ahead of time. But we were talking earlier about this subject and about the control factor of our nation. And you told me something I didn't know about the upcoming debate on Tuesday with Trump and Kamala Harris. And so I just wanted to mention that because we know Canada and Mexico are oppressive countries, and we know their governments control pretty much everything that happens there for the people. But I hear things from you that I don't even know. You know, I do live in my Pollyanna world of I hope everything works out, and I try not to, like you said earlier, I keep a positive viewpoint. So I stay on that side of things, but I know the other side of things is happening as well. So tell me again, let's say for everybody listening, what you had found out about the DirecTV and Tuesday's event.
Let me do this. This is something that I'm airing today, and look at the exact thing I'm going to air. I saw this news release right here. This is my title, okay? But I saw a news release, and they were talking about the DirecTV, ABC, Disney conflict. And then they mentioned these markets in the article here. And I thought, wow, these are big markets of people who can't get their local ABC affiliate. Well, guess what? The debate on Tuesday, okay, is on ABC. So let's scroll down to here. And they could fix this before, and this may become a moot story, but these are the markets that are affected and won't be able to see the debate. We know they've been trying to hide Kamala out. You know, Kamala, Kamala, come out wherever you are. One contrived interview in 48 days, and then you've got only one debate, ABC suspect. And look at this, the markets that won't see. These are the top four markets in the United States: New York, LA, Chicago, Philadelphia, and then Houston won't be able to see it, and San Francisco. So six of the top 10 markets in America, TV wise, with ratings. This is from the Nielsen ratings. They won't be able to see the debate unless they have a resolution. And I'm hopeful that 1,000 people from my side of the fence will take this information, go research it, validate it, and then publish it, and will force them to capitulate. And what they're trying to avoid is having Kamala Harris make a blithering idiot of herself in front of a smaller audience. This is, I think, what their objective is here. There's something else too that we'll point out here that you. That is relative to what you're doing, Noel. And this is really interesting. Whoops, I'm going the wrong direction here. Okay, here we go. Do you want to talk about this? And I'll scroll down.
This
And
is
by the
me.
way, we're gonna have to audibleize this because we both have a TV and a radio audience, and I'm going to simulcast this.
Sure.
Okay.
So this came from Charmaine Roth. She's very, very active here in Arizona in many capacities. And I got an email from her, as did everybody. It went out widely. And it's to help the election integrity teams. You know, with the upcoming elections, we always need more people to work our elections. And I know a lot of people don't think it's worthy to get involved anymore because of what they see happen. And those of us who had worked the audit in 2020, we do know firsthand that these things happen with processes not being followed and the laws not being adhered to during the election cycles. However, I would just say to that, that if you don't get involved, certainly you can't complain. But also, more than that, we basically just cede all of our power and all of our ability to ever really try to fix anything if we just sit back and let them, you know, take the front seat. So they say we need 5,000 to step up in Arizona, across Maricopa County, I'm sure it is, and to volunteer. And we need poll observers. I've done this before. You go sit at a poll station and you get to pick where you want. You can sign up for what area that works for you and the locations. And so it's real convenient. It's a real simple process. They need poll watchers and observers. And you basically just look and see what's happening. There are now websites you can in real time report to. If you see an issue, you take notes. There it is. Visit. You go azgop.com/observer. So really easy to get to the registration link. And we really just want to call everybody out who hears this in Arizona, certainly, and really wherever you're listening, because I'm sure that whatever state you are in or city, they're going to need observers on the GOP side in your area. So yes. Go on your elections, .gov site, and they'll have things listed, or go on to Facebook and look up some Republican groups, and they'll advertise for these things and the help that they need. It's easy to find the information. Just takes a few minutes on the keyboard. And so it's really important that we get involved, whether you get other people to vote here. It's like get 10 people to vote. And even though you think that voting doesn't matter because they might do something, possible, it's true. But if we don't vote, the numbers alone can help push us over the edge. And I think we still do have more registered Republican voters here in Arizona. And I think really across the nation as a whole, without citing any specific numbers, versus the Democrats that are registered or even the independents. So we, I think from a sheer numbers perspective, if we all vote the ticket, we're in a really good position. If they do cheat, the more people that vote, the margin gets smaller on how they can cheat. So you want to minimize the numbers that they can manipulate with fake voters or illegal voters. And so we got to get the vote out, and we need to get the volunteers there to help flood that zone, so to speak. So azgop.com/observer, please get on that. And when you hear this, and in your area too. So thanks for letting me hear
that. We got to give that out a little slower here for our Audible.
So it's azgop.com, and it's /observer, or go to your elections.gov, and you'll see areas that you can volunteer for everywhere, really. Counters. We're going to try to do some hand counting here. They've been training down here in the Valley. Dave, I don't know if you know. I'll send you the information after the show.
Yeah, please do.
They've been organizing it. A few people here, Karen and Leslie Shepherd, have been doing a really great job organizing through the MCRC, Maricopa County Republican Committee. And so they are going to try to have hand counters in place in case we get to do that. You know, I know California did it in one of their areas last time. So they are moving in other states toward hand counting in smaller counties. So it can happen. And if it does happen, we want to be ready. And so there's lots of ways to get involved for this upcoming election.
Exactly. Let's say this again, azgop.com/observer if you're in Arizona. And if you're not in Arizona, which a lot of you won't be, make sure you call your GOP and say, do you have any poll watcher needs that I can volunteer for? And do the same thing there. I think that's fantastic what you're doing. I made a note here, and I should bring this up because it's timely. We are now almost 4 years past the 2020 election. But what's happened in the last 2 days is stunning, and I can't believe a lot of my colleagues don't even know about this. But I have seen the county hearing in Fulton County on this. I've seen a news report out of Wisconsin that's going to validate what I'm going to tell you. In Fulton County in Atlanta, they are required to maintain the ballot image for every voting machine vote that takes place. So you can do a one-to-one on a recount. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. The county commissioners there have validated the fact that they're missing 380,000 images. In other words, that might be the potential amount that Donald Trump had stolen from him in Georgia. And they did the midnight win, and you watch the charts about where Trump was in relationship to Biden, leading the whole night up until about 1 a.m. And all of a sudden, the blue line goes straight up, And we think that's when the theft took place. And there's another item, Wisconsin. The person who was a county clerk and recorder in a big county in Wisconsin, and I don't recall the name off the top of my head, she's gone to prison for election fraud. And it's going to happen again. And you people in Wisconsin, you need to get out and be poll watchers, because they've now put someone in her place that's never overseen an election in a huge county. And she's one of them. And you need to keep them under surveillance, or they're going to steal Wisconsin. And that was another 1 a.m. steal.
Right. That was across the nation. And what people don't realize, that's funny, I'm glad you mentioned that, is, you know, still today, a few years later, people say, oh, there was no fraud. We like to refer to it as maladministration, because people don't like the word fraud. But it's just a lack of process and rule following, honestly. And the convictions that are still happening across the nation, the roles that, you know, Governor Youngkin, and then they found in Texas, they just purged, you know, thousands of illegals off their rolls, that they were there in 22 and in 20. And people don't realize that these cases are still going forward and people are still being convicted of these process crimes in all the elections across the United States.
Yeah,
so to say that that wasn't a fact anymore, that it couldn't have changed the election, I think is just completely disingenuous of anybody who says that, certainly on TV, on air, because 1,000 here, 12,000 there, that was the election here in Arizona. We had very low numbers in some of the margins, and for state races as well, that could have changed the trajectory for our state. And that's why I say every vote counts. It might be 1,000 in your county, you know what I mean? That makes the difference. So you have to vote no matter what you think, and you have to vote down the ticket. Don't stop at the top three, or your senators and your president. You have to go all the way down the ticket, because it's those county seats that we have learned here in Arizona, those of us who have gotten more involved this year with county issues. The counties are what controls your state and the city governments. And so it's very important to know who's getting in those seats.
Yeah, exactly.
They split people in all the time. And I couldn't emphasize getting out and vote enough. So please don't listen to the hype about what your vote doesn't do. Just know that it can do something if you give it. So just do that.
No, vote. You're absolutely right. I want to say this, though, here. The reason I brought these two cases up, they're being adjudicated almost 4 years after the election. It's too late to overturn the 2020 election. Folks, we can't wait 4 years. You got to stay on this now, and we got to make it 4 days, 4 weeks at the most, that we're raising you know what, and we got this stuff in the courts. We got the evidence in the courts. We overwhelm the courts across the nation. We can't wait 4 years. And the Democrats don't care these people are getting convicted. They're just throwaway people. They're throwaway stooges for them. The other thing is, one more thing we should cover here since we're on the topic, Arizona lawsuit. There's a group, and I don't know a lot about it, Nick, Noel, but I bet you do. There's a lawyer who's got a group, and he's upset because the county clerk and recorders across Arizona, all 15 of them, they're not universally enforcing no registration for illegal aliens here at the midnight hour. And so Katie Hobbs, the illegitimate governor of Arizona, has spoken up on this and said, how dare they sue and do election interference here on this? This is to keep illegals. Do you know anything about this lawsuit?
Well, I was trying to pull it up because I just got an email just a day or two ago. I know that they've launched a lawsuit through MCRC or Gina Swoboda, AZGOP, and with the law that came out in Arizona that all you're talking about that you have to show citizenship to actually vote, get on the rolls. Is that the one you're talking about? That law? I mean, they're challenging it, but we do. I know that AZGOP has launched a suit, I think, just to secure that law be followed. However, that's why the voting is so important, because the people who run the elections, unfortunately, in Arizona and so many other states, even the, you know, we're still a red state. I know they say we're blue, but I don't believe that. The people who are running those numbers in the back office, so to speak, at the end of the night, they still can manipulate things. So that's why the numbers are important. The less the more we flood the zone with numbers, the harder it is for them to sneak in extra votes the way they want. You know, when the margin's big, they can put ballots in all day long. It's very hard to pick those out. But when we all vote and you can check your vote that it counted actually electronically, everybody can, then it just makes it harder for them to cheat that quick because they don't have a lot of time to manipulate the stacks of ballots and infuse those. So the lawsuit will go through as it is now. I don't know that we'll see a resolution before a few weeks from now when November 5th comes, but that's why it is important to get involved and vote, because you can't stop it necessarily in the courts. And depending on who the judge is, we all know here and across the nation, well, across the world, the judges matter, and it depends who you draw or who they assign. So those become dead cases anyway. And so you just have to operate as though your vote is the most important thing in the world. That's what I would say.
Well, it is. It is.
Right?
Canada and the United States are in a similar position. This is the end of our country if the wrong people stay in charge. Right now, my view of this is we're going through a coup right now. The three of us are the counter coup. We're trying to get our countries back. And if we're not successful in this, okay, what follows a coup historically? A purge to consolidate power. And this is when things are going to get ugly. I wanted to mention one more thing. And this is advice too for our Canadian friends who monitor elections. Don't leave. They'll kick you out at 10:30 and they'll stay and they'll do their stuff until 1 or 2 or 3 in the morning. And this is when they cheat and steal these key elections. Don't leave. You tell them, I'm not leaving until you leave the building. It's locked up. And then maintain nightly surveillance so they can't sneak back in. This is what happened in Atlanta. It's what happened in Phoenix. And it's what happened in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Right. Eddie, they probably don't let you guys observe, do they? Or do you have that option even for your election?
We don't have that option. But here's an interesting tidbit. I don't know if you know, but Dominion Voting Machines head office is here in Canada, in Toronto, and it shares a building with a George Soros organization.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard that.
You know, our countries are more connected in more ways than you can think. I like to look at United States and Canada. This would be my way to compare where or how we relate. Your United States is the pizza shop, and we live in the little apartment upstairs. So we're really not that important, but you hear noise from us every now and again, and you know something's going on upstairs. That's kind of where we are.
That's right. I have a lot of Canadian friends actually who come here. They winter here in Arizona, and some of them are trying to leave Canada. They're trying to get their citizenship here legally. One of their grandson actually just came on with the police department here in Maricopa County and just graduated. And he came down, did schooling, and he's going to go through the process to become a citizen. He's always wanted to.
Absolutely.
And serve our country here in law enforcement. And so we do go back and forth, and people do fly back and forth from Canada often here, especially in Arizona. And so we're very interconnected. And those of us who understand what's happening with our governments and our political systems intricately, who are, you know, involved more, then we have to be the voice to tell other people. It's hard to believe that this is happening in our worlds, in our America and Canada are progressive states, you know, and countries. And it's hard to believe that this stuff is really taking place.
This has been happening for the better part of 50 years.
Yeah.
You know, they rolled in the Marxist playbook when, you know, I'm an older guy. They started rolling it in the schools when I was a child. So most people today that are Marxists don't know that they're Marxists, but they truly are. They fit the textbook definition. So that's why they go after the children. And, you know, you look at the Rainbow Army now, really, that's a Marxist organization. I have nothing against people that want to, you know, change sex or, you know, they're gay. I don't care about that. That's not my issue. But they've empowered them as a Rainbow Army, and you can't criticize. And the moment you can't criticize something, you know there's a big problem. And the minute you do criticize anything, they label you. I mean, I can give you an example back to my lawsuit. You can imagine this. I'm a military guy, served my country. I have to go on my lawsuit, and I'm on the trial. The attorney general of this country The first question I was asked was, is it not true that you're a racist and a white supremacist? So that's where we are. That's, you know, they have the 300 page book of names and they flip to a page and they love to use those terms to downplay us and shut us down. Well, we're not going to shut up and we're not going to go away. And you're right. These elections mean everything. Our elections have been compromised as well in this country. We found out 2 years after Trudeau's last election that there was over 200 and some odd, I think 226,000 ballots that were discovered that weren't counted. It actually would have changed the outcome of the election.
Right.
But we just basically said, well, yeah, it's just one of those things. We won't let it happen again. So this is a big deal. I mean, the United States, this election coming up, this is for everything. And, you know, people think, oh, well, you know, Trump's this, Trump's that. Trump really is, you look at when you see everybody throwing ammunition at a certain target, you know that there's something there. So they're coming after Trump hard because he is the guy that can get things done. And all of the nefarious stuff that's going on, they're doing everything they can to prevent this man from taking office. And I hope when he does that, he looks to his northern border and says, you know what? Those Canadians up there, they need some help. And we're going to crush some of their economic policies and get in line with the rest of the world. And we're going to make this government fall into line and restore freedom in that country. And I hope it happens around the world.
Yeah,
yeah.
I hear you. I want to live long enough to see the finish line of freedom.
We're gonna have to close here, but I would just wanted to, Noel, have close with you and have you give out the website address for Take Our Border Back.
Sure. Go to takeourborderback.com. You can find everything about the upcoming summit in New York with Canada. We'll be near Niagara Falls on the Rainbow Bridge. Lewiston, New York, for those of you who want to travel in, September 27th, 28th, and the 29th weekend. There'll be lots of different events. You know, Eddie's going to be there. We're going to be able to cross over. We've got John Schrock coming in from the John Birch Society. Commander Jay Furman, I think, is back with us from Texas. He's a congressional candidate running in Texas who went through his primary already. So he's on a good trajectory to win, hopefully, that seat. And then that same weekend, we're going to, for those who want to caravan down to Washington, D.C. on that Saturday, the 28th, you can convoy down with us. And the Rescue the Republic is actually taking place in front of the Washington Monument that same weekend. Tulsi Gabbard, Russell Brand are some of the names there. Lara Logan, RFK Jr. will be there. And they do expect, as Eddie said, a bigger guest than that. Somebody who's, I think, partnering really nicely with RFK Jr. and did so here in Glendale a few weeks ago for the first time publicly. So you can draw your own conclusions. But takeourborderback.com, get on there, join, hit the join us, you know, sign up for updates, because in Yuma, we'll be here in Arizona on October 19th, the weekend through the 20th. We'd like to partner with Mexico. I'm putting things in place for that right now. And we hope that, I don't know, I know I want you down there, Dave. I don't know, you said you have a conflict with family stuff. I'm still hoping that, you know, schedules change and you're
we'll
like, but yeah, I'm going to put it out there until it's over, and then it either happens or it doesn't. But I just want you to know that if you show up, you are more than welcome at any moment. We're trying to start a little later that day in Yuma, just because people drive in, it's a 4-hour drive. So with our speakers in mind, it won't be such an early start as it will be in New York. But please get involved however you can, whether it's with your GOP, whether it's with your Facebook groups, Google Patriot groups, Google grassroots groups, Google Republican groups. Use Google for your good and not their good. And find the people in your area that you can connect with on whatever level works comfortably for you and your family. Not everybody wants to go on camera and, or shout it out loud from the rooftops. But whatever your comfort zone is, find that and do that, because it is your country, your children's future in this country, in Canada and Mexico. And if we don't preserve for my kids, your kids, grandkids, we are the older folk. As we go through, we're going to be watching things take place that we will have said, we've been talking about this for 10, 20 years. What is going on, you guys? And we don't have a handle on it. So we have to take the bull by the horns now and find a way to make a difference as best we can
Very,
with
very
what.
well said. And I have to tell you, Eddie, I look at Canada as our first cousin. So I'm so glad that we're partnering on this issue. This is so critical. And my hat's off to both of you for the great work you're going to do up there, bringing attention to this. This is the most important time in American history. There's the founding fathers in our country. There's the World War II generation, and there could be us. And we may go down in the history books is the third great generation that saved America. And you two are a part of a great effort. Thank you so much for joining us here on the Common Sense Show.
Thank you.
My pleasure, Dave. Thank you so much.
Take care. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of the Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. And we are brought to you by Magic Dicol, great products. And what I want to focus on here is the vanity. I've talked to you a lot about the spray. This is why I'm here today behind the mic. It's why tonight I'm going to the gym and I'm going to have a good extensive workout where back in March, I couldn't walk up a flight of stairs. But I want to introduce you to another product that they offer. And people are raving about it. And they said, Dave, you need to be telling people about this. Okay. Okay, mea culpa, I'm going to tell people. Let me introduce you to the Metasomer Telomerase Natural Skin Cream. And it hydrates the skin, keeps it moisturized, gives you a glowing look. And I got to tell you, it reduces the appearance of fine lines and wrinkles because it boosts collagen. And this thing is fantastic. People are raving about it. Even some of the guys are using it. Like my friend Scotty Sachs, he said his forehead lines are almost completely gone. And I have to say, in the time I've known Scotty, that's true. So this is really, really special. And this would make a great gift, guys, for your wife. Just make sure she doesn't take it the wrong way, if you know what I mean. So what do? You go to iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com/Dave Hodges. I went to the Tucker Carlson and guest Russell Brand event in Phoenix last night. It was packed. It was packed. And I felt such a camaraderie. But I have to tell you, Russell was fantastic. And he moved people to tears. He concluded the event getting on his knees and praying to Jesus. God was at the center of a lot of what they talked about. But it occurred to me what this election's really about, because my mind begins to wander from my frame of reference. And they were talking about Trump, Trump, Trump. Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy got a lot of positive comments last night. Really well received by the audience, too, because I think people recognize the Kennedy family has sacrificed so much. And you still have your naysayers. You know, the old saying that your friends are God's way of apologizing for the family you have. Well, some of the bleepers in Kennedy's family just ripping him. Wanting him to stay and support a party that supports the poisoning of our kids, supports poison vaccines, supports taking away our Bill of Rights. Yeah, that was really well received. And it was about that time when I said, you know, this election's not about Donald Trump. And it's certainly not about Kamala Harris. She's a quintessential puppet. She's said enough to know we know where things are going. But we're fighting against an ideology, a party, a political party, and globalism all at one time. We're fighting against a machine. And it occurred to me what this election comes down to. If we fail, Trump is killed, Trump goes to prison, there's no election, whatever it would be, they cheat enough to have Kamala win. A year from now, some of you watching this broadcast won't be around. I'll probably be one of the first to go. This occurred to me last night. It just hit me like a ton of bricks. The people running are almost irrelevant. Trump is not going to put you in a concentration camp. Kamala will. Trump is not going to take away your freedom of speech. Kamala will. And she's announced it. This election comes down to freedom versus slavery. If you don't have freedom of speech, and she's made it clear, saying, no, Brazil's right, and you know, you got to be responsible in what you say, and hey, the only limitation on your speech is you can't incite violence directly, you can't threaten people, and you can't advocate for the violent overthrow of the country. There are no other limitations in the Constitution. And if you lose freedom of speech, you lose the right to bear arms, you lose control over due process, reasonable search and seizure, you lose control over being a slave, free travel, standing up to the machine and saying, no, I'm not taking that vaccine, you'll lose everything. And the World Health Organization right now is already implementing their policies around the planet. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. And they're already acting like their treaty is already being enforced. And I've read it. It's freedom versus slavery. We all need to do our part. Start here, share this, share other people's work, but get to work, please. Your life depends on it.